Welcome back. Bob Harris here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And November the 10th, 1975. It's a big day in the history of the Upper Midwest. It was the sinking of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The Edmund Fitzgerald, I should say, went down to the Lakes Superior during a massive, massive winter storm. I guess you can call it winter storm, almost winter anyway. Joining us right now is one of the very few gentlemen who have made a dive now, not a submarine dive, scuba dive down to the wreck in Lake Superior. And his name is Terrence Tysel. He's with the Cambrian Foundation, and he joins us right now here on KFGO. Mr. Tysel, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So what is the Cambrian Foundation before we get into the Edmund?
Okay. Well, it's real simple. We're a 501c3, or in other words, a not-for-profit. And we do aquatic-based research all over the planet. Our mission statement is pretty simple. We're dedicated to research, education, preservation, and exploration of the aquatic realm. So we're real fortunate to do everything from undersea archaeology to going to a kindergarten class and talking to kids about dolphins and sharks. So it's pretty broad.
First of all, when did you make the dive to the Fitzgerald?
Gosh, it's been a while now. It was in the kind of mid to late 90s, and it was supposed to be one of hopefully a series of dives, but the weather kind of, as that area is prone to, kind of took us out of the ball game and denied us multiple trips. But we did it, if memory serves, good heavens, in 96. And back then, a 530-foot, open-water dive in near-freezing water was a pretty big deal, and I guess it's somewhat still that, because no one's ever done it after us. So,
put an urban legend to rest here for me. Did you have to get permission from either the United States or Canada to make this dive?
Well, what we did is we had a Canadian citizen who was our boat captain, and he actually pulled a Canadian archaeological permit because we didn't want to upset anybody. I mean, obviously, running a not-for-profit, and at the time the foundation was in its infancy, you know, we want to do everything correctly. So we pulled the permit, and what's funny about the permitting process, it was pretty simple. And our boat captain pulled it, and he went in there, and he said, we'd like to request permission to conduct diving operations on the Edmund Fitzgerald. And I have a feeling, as it goes, that they just said, you know, oh, sure, yeah, go ahead, ha, ha, chuckle, chuckle, that'll never happen, and didn't really think much about it. But, there was definitely nothing nefarious in the way we did it.
So it was you and another gentleman who went down. Were you the only two to go down, ever?
Yeah, to my knowledge, we're the only two people that have ever been privileged enough to dive it outside of a wearable submarine like a Newt suit or a submersible. And the gentleman's name was Michael Zlatopolsky, and it was really Mike's project. He had been trying to get it going for years and years, working with some other divers in the area. And I had met Mike when I had trained him in some deep diving stuff years before. And each year I would always, you know, inquire when we met at this big dive conference. I'd say, hey, so have you dove it yet? How was it? And each year something always seemed to happen. Until finally, one year, he asked me, he goes, would you help me put this mission together? And I said, well, of course.
Terrence Tysel, our special guest here on KFGO. We're talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the dive that he made back in the mid-1990s. And by the way, thank goodness I've got you on, because I would never in a million years be able to pronounce Mike's last name, okay?
Everybody calls him Mike Z.
So. So you talked about it briefly, but what was your mission? You said it was a series of dives. What were you doing? What was your mission to go down there?
We wanted to, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, silly as it sounds, it's important to me, but it's that, you know, I don't want to sound too dramatic, but you kind of push the outside of the physiologic envelope. And at the time, the deepest wreck dive ever conducted was by a friend of mine named Gary Gentile, and he and his team dove on a wreck of the Ostfriesland off of the Virginia Capes at 380 feet of water. And you know, everybody just, that was just off the charts then. And, you know, it's pretty simple stuff. I mean, I'm no unique individual. If you can breathe in, breathe out, keep your brain in check, and do what you're supposed to do, anybody can do these kind of dives within reason. And so it was a logistical hurdle, and it was a physiologic hurdle. Mike asked me to be a part of it. I had a bit of a history, and still do, of being able to get scientists or research done in areas that other people either haven't thought of or don't want to go. And so we just used that that experience to do that, and we put together what was necessary and put together the training dives and kept it fairly disciplined on a small budget, and were able to do it.
How big a boat did you have, by the way, when you were that you dove off of?
Oh, gosh, I want to say it was probably about a 32-footer.
Oh, so it wasn't all that big.
No, this was not a big research vessel. I mean, we've, earlier that summer, of course, we were, diving the Andrea Doria, and then, of course, we were diving the USS Monitor for the federal government on big government vessels. So this was definitely a smaller thing. And some of the similarities between the wreck of the USS Monitor, you just can't anchor there. I mean, it's obviously... we wanted to respect this for what it is. The Great Lakes are littered with wrecks that people went down on. And one of the most important things for me is that respect. And, my big forte in wreck diving is warships, and have been privileged to dive those all over the world, a lot of them wartime graves. And my father being a Navy veteran, I being a Navy veteran and a current Army diving officer, we respect that. And so... it's funny how people kind of jumped on it and tried to turn it into some kind of stunt that it wasn't. But we just wanted to make sure that we couldn't anchor in it, and so we used a high-resolution drop camera, and the boat captain literally kept the boat steadied over the site while we did that, because we didn't want to even do so much as put an anchor down.
Wow. This dive, by the way, so it was 530 feet. I think I'd heard once it was 600, but 530 is the right amount then, right? As far as
530, we did dives down to 600 as Mike and I were tuning up for the wreck. And that's because we just didn't want, you don't want a bunch of new things all at once. We wanted to have already been to that depth and know what our physiology would do. And so we conducted dives down to 600 feet in training for that operation. So.
This is Terrence Teisel with us here on KFGO. We're going to take just a brief break, Terrence. When we come back, I want to ask you what you saw, if that's okay.
Okay.
We'll be right back here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We're back. More of the show special here on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Terrence Teisel, one of only two men who have been down to the wreck on a free dive, for lack of a better term, down some 530 feet back in the mid-1990s. Had there been sightings, or have there been people down there with subs before? I know Fred Shannon had a submersible that went down there, I know, a while. Was that before this?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, like I always try to say when people are asking us about the wreck is, we didn't do anything groundbreaking. We didn't even set out to do anything groundbreaking. But, from the moment she sank, the Navy, I think, had the Curve down there, which was effectively a predecessor to the remotely operated vehicles that they have now. And, she was pretty heavily looked at once the weather cleared in the spring and summer of the next year after she sank. And then, of course, invariably, I think even the Cousteaus went down. I think Falco visited her on one of the mini subs from the Calypso. And so she's been heavily visited and heavily documented by submersibles. And then right before we went there, they actually had the famous Bell dive, where they used Newt suits by Phil Newton, which is just an incredible device that, by heavens, if we ever had those, we would have loved to have visited it that way. But, so there'd been a fair amount of traffic on it.
So that's a protective, more protective type suit then you're talking about? Or?
Yeah, it's effectively literally a wearable submarine. And Phil Newton is just an incredible designer. If you remember some of the old James Bond movies, or if you have some folks that are into ocean exploration, Sylvia Earle used to went down in what was called a gym suit. And it looks like the old 1950s robots. It's a heavy, heavy, bulbous, man-shaped submarine that has big oil-lubricated joints, which is where the weakness of the suits always are. And you have a bit of mobility, but the whole thing is it's one atmosphere, meaning the structure of the suit takes the pressure, a lot like the hull of a submarine takes the pressure. Whereas in the water, when you're scuba diving, like we were, obviously all that pressure is transmitted into your tissues, and all the associated challenges then appear.
When you got down there, what'd you see?
Ooh, a lot of dark. And what was beautiful is the captain just put us right down on the port side bow. So we came right down alongside the wheelhouse, and the drop camera was right there. And so we came down, and we could see the whole right side of the wheel, or excuse me, the left side of the wheelhouse. And we came down alongside and then followed the hull down. And both of us wanted to see exactly how deep it was. And I will never forget where the bow has knifed into the seabed of Lake Superior. She's just displaced huge. I mean, like, oh, gosh, small room size chunks of clay from the bottom, and you can still see those striations and with the light coating of dust on it. So we went down to that point and then just slowly made our way up the hull. And the one time that, you know, I allowed myself something gratuitous was, you know, as we slowly inched up and looked, we didn't peek in anywhere. We weren't looking for bodies, as the legends have developed. That's, you know, we were too busy trying to keep two more people from being down on that wreck site permanently. And so we just wanted to visit, pay our respects, prove that something like this could be done, not to open the door for sport diving on it or anything like that. And the one thing that, you know, I mean, years had been in the offing when we did this wreck. So the one thing that I wanted to do that I've done on every wreck I've ever dove is I just reached my hands out and gripped that rail right outside the bridge doorway and just put my hands on it. And I'll carry it to my grave. I mean, it's the first time and the last time until somebody else visits it that human hands have touched that, living human hands have touched it since she sank. So it was a poignant moment for me anyway.
Wow. Fred Shannon did send me a video a while back when he was doing his divings. And there apparently was a body on the floor. And now I understand that there's a big, big conversation or argument that may not have been from the Fitzgerald. That may have been from some other type of shipwreck from earlier days.
Yeah, I've heard that same conversation. And, you know, you can go to areas not far from the Fitzgerald and dive on wrecks where, you know, people have expired. I mean, it's just a part of shipwrecks. I mean, a shipwreck is a violent, you know, occurrence. And so very rarely do they end well. Certainly in most of the wrecks that we've been able to dive around the world with the foundation or even as just individuals, the stuff in Guadalcanal is some of my most favorite. I mean, these guys died in battle. They died violently defending their countries, regardless of which side they were on in that conflict, and just amazing thing. So to me, it was nothing new to dive on a site where people had perished. I mean, that is the nature of a shipwreck. And so for us, I always, from my viewpoint, I always thought that, hey, wait a minute, these are people that are willing to put everything on the line to visit this. You know, and, you know, I could see if we made a bunch of false claims that, oh, we're going to sell footage or we're down there to solve the mystery of the Fitzgerald. And, you know, we never said that. I mean, we never attempted to even say that. We wanted to visit that wreck. And that's what I would hope, that if I someday pass on a shipwreck, that someone would want to come see where I was last.
Terrence Tysel from the Cambrian Foundation here on KFGO. Let's ask you a little bit now about the dive itself. How long to get down? How long were you down there as far as on the floor? And then the length of getting back up.
Well, this was the first dive we did, which turned out to be the only dive we ended up doing, was to be exactly that, an exploratory dive, a reconnaissance dive. Let's see what the site looks like. Let's get all the bugaboos of a new site, a new place, kind of slay those dragons of the unknown, and let's see how things go. Let's see how the water temperature is. So we did a pretty conservative bottom time of 15 minutes. And that includes all the time it takes you to travel down 530 feet, which is about the equivalent of a 50-story building. So, you know, we had a couple challenges equipment-wise on the way down that cost us a little time we had to deal with. So we ended up hitting the bottom around 6 minutes. And so obviously that left us about 9 minutes of bottom time to explore. And you know, the people always laugh. I mean, you're sitting there next to this, you know, this icon of American history. I mean, I remember Gord Lightfoot's song about it, which sparked it for me. I grew up in my first part of my life in Illinois, so it was, you know, a big issue for me, too. But you're sitting down there, and the first thing is not this gigantic piece of history that's laying next to you. I mean, think of how big she is. It's the fact that, okay, do I have enough gas to breathe? Do I have the time? Is everything working correctly? Because, you know, I kind of say it lightheartedly, but it was our goal to not be two more people that ended up permanently on the bottom there, because we had no desire to cheat death or anything. We just wanted to make sure this operation could be conducted smoothly. So we went down, and like we said, took a little bit longer than we thought. And then just slowly worked our way up the wreck until we hit right at that 15-minute point. And then that's when Mike and I decided to, to terminate the dive and make some mental notes and some physical notes and then start the incredibly long almost 4-hour decompression to get to the surface safely. So our job was just beginning. The analogy that I always use is those famous scenes we see in the old World War II movies, the pilot and crew are flying the bomber over enemy territory. They've done their mission for the government. Now they have to get home, so they're flying for them. And that's the same equivalent. We went down there, did our mission, and now we wanted to make sure we went home correctly. And our first decompression stop was at 400 feet.
Wow.
So we were actually decompressing deeper than anybody else had ever dove at that point other than in caves.
That's amazing. I mean, when I hear a story like that, 3 to 4 hours to come back up, after 6 minutes going down, that's something else. One more other question. I know that somebody went down there as far, and I'm sure it was a submersible, but they got the bell from the Edmund Fitzgerald. That was proper. That was something some government wanted to do, right?
Oh, that was a wonderful operation that was pulled off by the Canadian Navy, and I believe Tom Farnquist from Great Lakes Museum out on Whitefish Point was part and parcel to that as well. But they ended up just doing a really beautiful and respectful series of dives with I think Emery Christoph was there, National Geographic was there, and they went down and cut the bell off of the Fitzgerald, and that right off the top of the wheelhouse with one of these the Newt suits that I was telling you about, and then replaced it with a bell with all of the individuals' names on it.
Oh.
And just really wonderfully done. I believe the survivors from the families were out there with it. And just really, really awesome. It's just a really great, neat thing to see a government, put that level of finance and caring to some people that were lost at sea, effectively. So I thought it was a really neat operation.
Well, listen, Terrence Tysel, we're running out of time here, and you're talking to a guy who can't even swim, but I would love to try to scuba diving one day. Tell us where we can find more information about the Cambrian organization.
Well, the Cambrian Foundation is, it's real easy. It's just CambrianFoundation.org. There's no space or dot between it. And that's CambriaN Foundation.org. And you'll soon find out most of our stuff is pretty scientific in nature is everything from, a few weeks ago, we were in some unexplored caves where nobody had been. And then, of course, yesterday we were talking to a group of school kids about aquatic insects. So it's neat and varied, and we've got a lot more projects in the offing. We just received an NSF grant about a year and a half ago to support this cave exploration in Central Florida. But we're always doing other things, whether it's wrecks or the Great Blue Hole of Belize. So just visit that website and check it out.
By the way, I forgot to ask you, why are we still so fascinated with this shipwreck? Is it Gordon Lightfoot's song?
I once it's in there, I suppose it's because of that human drama. But who put that drama in front of us? Of course, it was Gordon Lightfoot. I mean, again, there's wrecks within a few miles of the Edmund Fitzgerald that no one's heard about, no one cares about, but other people died on it, and their bones are still down there. They're still, I've been on numerous wrecks in the Whitefish Point area where you can still see human skeletons laying there on the deck, and nobody disturbs them or anything like that. And the depth and the cold keep most people away, which is nice. But, they're down there, and no one's heard of them. So if maybe this tomorrow or today when everybody is thinking about the Edmund Fitzgerald, that's proper. But let's also spare a couple of extra moments and think about all the people that have perished on those lakes.
Very well said. Terrence Tysel, thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO. It was a fascinating interview.
You're so welcome. Anytime.